Well, amen. See a bunch of beautiful faces. I like to see a bunch of beautiful smiles, if you don't mind for a moment. I got the middle section. I see a beautiful handshake, a hand wave. See a few beautiful smiles there. Still looking to my left. If I can get a few beautiful smiles, I got one there. Amen. Amen. Well, you may begin to question, why, Wes, why do you need to see us smile? Well, I smile, I sing because I'm happy. I sing because he woke me up this morning. I sing because he brought me through everything. Do I got an amen? Amen. Well, thank you guys. Thank you guys for just being here this morning into the house of worship. So I just want to start by offering a word of prayer. Dear Lord, thank you once again. Please humble me today, Father. In fact, you don't have to humble me. I'm already humbled, Lord. Let your words come through. Open hearts, minds, and souls today that somebody may be saved. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we came out this morning, Elder Carlisle mentioned our worship experience should be so unique. Our worship experience should be so unique. And that confirmed with me that God had spoke to me this week and led me to the right direction on the word today. So always good to get that confirmation. I want to start by reading the scripture today, and it's 2 Samuel chapter 6, starting at verse 21. If you got your tablet, your iPhone, whatever it is that you might use, or if you old school and you got your Holy Bible, where you got to turn those thin pages, you can turn to 2 Samuel chapter 6 and jump on down to verse 21. The Lord has sent you a text message. Say amen when you've received your text message. Give it a little more time. I haven't heard much vibrating or sounds to let me know that you've all got your text message. Say amen when you've retrieved your text message. And the word of God says, David retorted Michal, I was dancing before the Lord who chose me above your father and all his family. He appointed me as the leader of Israel, the people of the Lord, so I celebrate before the Lord. In verse 22, yes, and I am willing to look even more foolish than this, even to be humiliated in my own eyes. But those servant girls you mentioned will indeed think I am distinguished. Well, Wes, where are you going with this today? Sometimes in life, we all come to a point where we have to make confessions. And confessions aren't normally a good thing. Do I have a witness? When you have to confess sometimes, you might not get the best response. Some of you have been there where you have to choke it up and look that person in the face and confess that you were wrong. And the reality is that this, we all do not always fully confess even to those that are closest to us. I'll repeat that. We all don't normally confess even to those that are closest to us. Well, why is that? Because we hate to be judged. We hate to be judged on who we used to be or what we used to do. Do I have a witness? The reality is that some of us still have some dark secrets that we've yet to share with even those closest to us because we become ashamed or it takes us back to that place. Or when somebody confesses for you, it makes you a little angry. Do I have a witness? Well, this morning I come here to make a confession to you myself. And this confession, I hope this confession does not make you view me in a different light. But I must confess that I do have a problem. That I do have a problem that has become an addiction. And that addiction, that problem is being addicted to what we call worship. I hope I have some other addicts in here with me today. Brother Corey, I don't know. I heard you, but Do you hear, do you feel like we got other addicts with us today? So if you're an addict to worship, I'd like to hear you say amen. Amen. You know, I'm so addicted to this thing called worship that early in the morning, I got to get my hit. Early in the morning, I got to get my fix. I see you, Sister Desiree. You can join me there, huh? You know, sometimes in the morning, I got to get so high off my Creator that I'm literally feel like I'm floating. See, some of you that have literally been high in the world's eyes or that worldly high can relate that sometimes it just takes you away. I'm not going to ask you to witness to that because we go back to confessions. But what I am going to ask you is if you are spiritually addicted to worship this morning. And I've become so addicted that I've had to become someone that sells it. Somebody that gives it. And I hope today that I'm able to give you that same addiction that I have. Well, why, Wes, why are you so addicted to worship? I get the question a lot at work is, Wes, why you smile so much? And I'm thinking in my mind, if you only knew. When the reality is, the majority, a lot of this world claims to believe in God. The reality is, most people you work with will tell you that they have some form of relationship with Christ. But those very same people, you can walk around and see them looking down and out. But if you're addicted and you're connected to this thing called worship, you would know that you are able to truly keep a smile on your face all the time, even in times where it seems you shouldn't be able to. Brother Fino, I see you. I see that big smile because you know what I'm talking about. See, you can keep that smile because you know where you've been. You know what you've been through. And you know that your God has brought you through it. I'm so strung out. See, there's a joy from worship that you can't get from hugging your spouse. There's a joy from worship that your mama can't give you when she hug on you. There's a joy that you can't get from anywhere else. There's a joy you can only get from worship. You can't even get it when your grandma makes some good old biscuits. There's a joy that you can get from worship that you can't even get from a good Thanksgiving dinner. There's a joy from worship that you can't even get from one of those good old peach cobblers that Elder Carlisle make. Mercy if you've ever tasted his cobbler. But there's a joy and there's a peace that only worship can give you. See, there's something about worship that you cannot replicate anywhere else. In real worship, relationships are reconciled. In real worship, prodigal children are brought back. Do I have any prodigal children in here? Well, let me break that down in regular terms. Children that have strayed away, in real worship, they come back. So are there any children that have strayed away and come back? In real worship, faith is fortified. Eyes are open. Hope is strengthened. Direction is given. Hurts are healed. Issues are resolved. Anxiety is taken away. And demons will flee and tremble in real worship. See, there is something powerful in real worship. But there are some who come to church every week and ain't changed. There are some that come to church every week for that hour that leave with that same funky attitude, that leave with that same negative attitude. There are some that come every week that ain't experienced their Lord and Savior. And I must admit, I was guilty of that once before. See, there's a difference between worship service and going to church. See, when you go to church, sometimes you can run people away that have come to get their worship on. Sometimes you can run somebody away that's visiting because they need help because you just simply wanted to come to church. See, going to church is simply, I come to say hi to you. Going to church is I simply come to see somebody that I ain't seen in a week. See, sometimes going to church is gossiping, but in our own godly way, covering it up, saying we need to pray for Brother Wesley because you heard what he been doing. Yes, yeah, some of y'all know what that is. See, going to church is simply, I'm just going to maybe have a new outfit. Going to church is sometimes just judging people. But worship is coming through those doors in his presence. Real worship doesn't care who's preaching today. Real worship doesn't care who's on the praise team today. Real worship doesn't care about anything else but coming to get yours in with the Lord Jesus Christ. As I mentioned, some people never experience real worship because they just simply come to see, and they only simply see this as a building as opposed to the house of God. Real worship recognizes that this is where the presence of the Lord is. Real worship. How many real worshipers are in here today? See, sometimes you can just come to church and think you're worshiping. A biscuit, sometimes people think just because they say a biscuit is in the oven, they think the biscuit is really in the oven, when you can have a whole bunch of other things in the oven. So just because somebody tell you the biscuit is in the oven, don't mean it's really there. Just so somebody tell you they're a real worshiper, don't really mean that. Some people don't change because they fail to understand the importance of praise. Some people forget to understand what praise is. And see, what you have to realize is this. You fail to understand that praise is the prerequisite for worship. I'll repeat that. Praise is the prerequisite for real worship. What do you mean? Psalms 100 says, 100 verse 4 says, enter into his house with thanksgiving and enter his courts with praise. See, you don't got to come to church with anything else. You don't got to come to church with a pocket full of money. You don't got to come to church with anything. Sometimes all you need to come to church with is a simple amen in your pocket. Yeah. See, just keep that amen in your pocket, because sometimes you hear something that might make you get up on your feet. Yeah. Sometimes you hear a little music that might make you move your shoulder. There's always somebody. When I was growing up in this church, I could remember there was a young man who used to come to church. And every time the pastor struck a chord with him, he would stand up giving praise. But then there were always some people around saying, why does he gotta do that? Why he gotta be standing up like that? Why she gotta lift her hands when they singing? Why we gotta stand up when we're doing praise? Well, there's a simple answer. Praise sets the tone. Praise brings you in the presence of God. When you praise God, you begin to realize just how powerful God is, which leads you to be able to worship him. Worship without praise is like Kool-Aid with no sugar. Very sour. Worship without praise is like peanut butter with no jelly. Very sticky. Worship without praise is like Scottie Pippen without Michael Jordan. Worship without praise is like Randy Marlin or Tito and Jermaine with no Michael. They just ain't the Jackson 5. And now they coming out with a show, The Next Generations of Jackson. And they still ain't popping like they want to be. Praise and worship go together. I want to take you right now. We need to look at our text so we can see the critical connection of praise of God in the praise of in the presence of God. So let's look at that one more time really quick.
David responded to his wife, I was dancing before the Lord, who chose me above your father and all his family. He appointed me as the leader of all Israel, the people of the Lord. So I celebrate before the Lord. Yes, and I am willing to look even more foolish than this, even to be humiliated in my own eyes. But those servant girls you mentioned will indeed think I am distinguished. As we go back and we look, I must first give you the context so you can appreciate the content of this actual word here. David was 30 years old. 30 years old. How old was David? 30 years old when he became king. He was elevated king of Israel. Now, David had been anointed by Samuel when? How old was he? 17 years old. He was anointed at 17. But he didn't become king until the age of 30. So he had to navigate 13 years. I need you to catch this. David had to wait 13 years before his selection, between his selection and his election. You missed it. He had to wait 13 years between his selection and his election. What do you mean? There was a gap in there of 13 years before he was actually elected and actually the king. Understand and watch that there is always some time that you have to wait between your anointing and your appointing. See, God tells us before we even born that he knows the plans for us. I was born August 2nd, 1984. Instantly when I was born, I didn't reach all that God had planned for me. There's some waiting time in there. At 31, I still haven't fully made it to where God has wanted me to be. With David, when he was 17, God had already said, I want you as my king. But he had to wait. And when we wait sometimes, that's where it's dangerous. Because we get a little frustrated. Who likes waiting by a show of hands? Nobody. We live in a society where we can throw everything in the microwave and warm it up. And it's done immediately. And sometimes when we have to wait or we're impatient, when we're cooking food, it burns. But remember, before your elevation, there will always be some time of preparation. See, in that 13 years, God had to prepare David for all that he would have to deal with as the king of Israel. When David became king, he had three critical action items that he wanted to handle. One was he wanted to deal with the Jebusites who had overtaken the city of Jerusalem. His desire was to drive them out of the place of promise to reestablish that for the children of God. Number two was he wanted to defeat the Philistines who Israel had been at war with for an entire decade. And number three, he wanted to bring back the Ark of the Covenant of God to the city of Jerusalem. In order to understand how this correlates with what I'm talking about today, we have to slide over to the parallel text in 1 Chronicles 13, and I'll give you a little summary so you don't have to do that. You will discover right there that the Ark of the Covenant was in the house of Abinadab. So David goes there, and he understands, and you need to understand that the Ark was just not a holding case for the Ten Commandments, but it symbolized the manifest in the presence of the Almighty God with his people. So David knew that he needed God's presence with him. Now, David wanted the ark to be with him so that way he could experience God's presence. So that way the children of Israel could experience the presence of God fully. But one mistake that David made was this. Everybody say, uh-oh. Tap your neighbor and tell him, uh-oh. He did this without consulting God. How many times have we jumped the gun without consulting God? too many times. And what we know happens is mistakes happen. Things that don't even need to happen, happen when we do not consult God. So when he went to retrieve the ark, this is Uzzah here. When he went to retrieve the ark, he didn't get it God's way. He did it a whole nother way. He decided to do it the way the Philistines done it, which was a newer way that seemed like it worked better. They used some ox, and they thought it would be more effective. That ox stumbled. Anybody know the story? What did Uzzah do? He reached out. And what happened to him? As he reached out, God struck him dead. Now this made David very angry because Uzzah was the only trying to help. Is there anybody in here who knows that you can do a lot of damage simply trying to help? Have you ever done some damage simply trying to help? Well, the thing is this, is when we're trying to help, if you're not instructed by God, your help is not going to work. I want you to tell somebody, I know that's right. Yeah, I know that's right. As I'm maturing in my faith, I'm learning right now to wait until I really hear God give me the release. I'm waiting for God to really say, Wes, you can do that. Yeah. I got to learn personally not to make a move without him. See, Uzzah didn't know that he needed to wait. Sometimes, plain and simple, we just got to stop, zip our mouth, and be still. And be still. And wait for God to give you the patience and wait for God to give you the answer. See, David was so angry at this time, so hurt, that he just allowed the ark to stay at the house of Obed-Edom. And it stayed there for 3 months. David stayed mad. But then the word came back to David that Obed-Edom and his house and his family had been blessed. I need to stay there for a moment. Because what you need to know is this. Wherever the presence of God is, there will be blessings. Somebody mentioned that. Wherever the presence of God is, there will be blessings. If the Lord is in this place today, you will be blessed. If God is in your own household, your household will be blessed. See, sometimes when there's godly people that's working at a job, that job can be blessed. When you're the only one in your family that has the presence of God, you can bless your entire family. So wherever the presence of the Lord is, there will be blessings. Wherever God is, nothing can stop it. No sickness, no anger, no nothing. Wherever God is, nothing can stop it. That's why when you wake up in the morning, you can ask God, you can sing to God, the presence of the Lord is here. The presence is in the Lord is here. I can feel it in the atmosphere. The presence of the Lord is here. And you can sing this because in his presence, there's power. In his presence, there's victory. In his presence, there's healing. In his presence, there's deliverance. There is freedom. There is mercy. All in the presence of God. Pull that amen out your pocket. Amen. David realized at this moment that he needed to do whatever. Somebody say whatever. David realized that at this exact moment, he needed to do whatever it took to get the presence of God back to the children of God. Some of us today need to adopt that attitude, that we need to do whatever it takes to get the presence of God back within us. Whatever it takes to get the presence of God back in our household, which means sometimes we gotta cut our cell phone off. Sometimes we need to come in church to experience that real worship experience by turning off our cell phone, not checking your Facebook, not checking your Instagram, not checking your Snapchat. We gotta do whatever it takes. Sometimes that means removing people out of your life. Sometimes that means moving somewhere else. But we got to do whatever it takes. Somebody in here today is feeling like that. That they got to do whatever it takes. May mean you need to cut your cable TV off. May mean you need to start walking to work. But we got to do whatever it takes. Whatever it takes to get his presence back. So David did whatever it took. He regrouped. He reorganized his team. And he reconnected with God. And he was finally given the okay to God from God to retrieve the ark. And the Bible reports this. After six steps, David stopped and praised the Lord. He had to stop and give God some praise. Well, some of us have a hard time praising because we're not humble. Some of us got a hard time praising because we got X amount of college degrees underneath our belt. Some of us don't give enough praise because we feel like our check stub is more than enough. Real praise doesn't happen until you humble yourself. Real praise doesn't happen until you realize I need to stop and give it up to the Almighty God. See, whenever you make up to your mind to praise the Lord, there's always going to be somebody there to try to put a mute on that. And this can be somebody really close to you. In this case, it was David's wife. When we come to church, somebody can try to put a praise on you, your brother and sister in Christ, by telling you you're doing too much as you praise in the Lord. You standing up too much. You shouting too much. That's going to happen. See, David's wife was watching him. She wasn't mad at him. She was despised. She despised him. And when he came back to the house, she asked him, "You are the king. Why are you dancing like that? Why are you doing that? Why are you doing that?" She was so upset, she missed the cue to praise. This is her husband. She missed the cue. And there's sometimes where we're all guilty of missing the cue to praise. That's why in Hollywood, in movies, they have a director and he says, "Lights, camera, action." What does that do? That helps everybody know when to start acting. That lets the electronic people know when to press the button. But I want you to know today that as Christians, we have a director as well who will give you the cue on when you should start praising. Lights, action, and praise would be the three things the director, the Holy Spirit, will tell you. Lights, because he will say, "Have you seen what I've done for you?" Action, "Are you seeing how I'm working for you right now?" Praise, because when you've seen the lights and you would seen the action, you would know to begin to praise him. See, this text shows us three things right now. Four things about real praise. One is this: real praise is redemptive. David tells his wife he was praising God because he was chosen by God. Understand, when David says he was chosen by God, how many other brothers did he have? Samuel went to look at him. Was his first choice David? After he looked at all the brothers, his brothers were bigger, taller in stature. They've been through some things. Get down to little David and say, "That's the one." Samuel himself was like, "What?" See, God had chosen David. And in order to understand David's praise, she had to understand his story. See, in order for others to understand your praise, they might need to understand your story. See, some of y'all's stories might be, you might have been hooked onto some things before. Some of your stories is you might not have enough rent money. Some of your stories is the only way you made it through college was because God did it for you. But I don't know your story. Only you know your story. And your story is only real to you. But I know my story. I just got a job about a month ago. Let me tell you my story on this job. And let me tell people, I tell everybody I work with, this is why I'm smiling. This is why I'm praising him. My job said bilingual, strongly preferred. So they were looking for somebody to speak Spanish. Little old Wesley don't speak no Spanish. I might speak some Ebonics. And when I speak Spanish, it don't sound all that good. So I'm in the interview. Well, the day before, the day when I seen the job, I'm like, I don't know if I should apply. I don't know. I just don't know. And I asked the principal on campus, are you guys really looking for somebody bilingual? And she said, well, you know what, Wes? We really are. So I say, man, I don't know if I should apply. Anyhow, I'll apply anyways. The day before my interview, one of the other people in administration who I'm close with said, Wes, I just want to prep you. There's a great chance that you probably won't get the job. Okay. I'm like, man, Satan is working. I'm like, well, if that's the case, I'm going to stop coaching here. I'm going to stop doing everything I do here on this campus. That was Satan speaking. That's what Satan wanted me to do. Now, next day in the interview, I interview. In the interview, they start speaking Spanish. I say, oh my gosh. And they say, no comprende. So I'm going to be honest with y'all, I don't know Spanish. So at that point, as I walk out the interview, I'm like, well, you know. But here it is right here. The next day I get a call from that same person that told me, Wes, I don't think you're going to get the job. Wes, whatever you did up in there, impress them that they're going to give you the job. Yeah. But the other thing was this. Then they had to defend their choice to the people at the district office. So anyhow, I get the job, and one person, when I started doing my work meeting, said, you're really going to have to prove to people that they picked the right person because you don't speak Spanish. But see, what I said that to say is this, is we have to praise God because we know what he's done for us. See, God is the one that opens and shuts doors. See, that's when you begin to worship him, when you realize it's not your power. It's nothing you can do. Nothing that you can do, nothing that nobody else can do that can stop you from giving you what God wants you to have. See, is there anybody in here that can praise God just because he saved you? Is there anybody in here that can praise God just because he took you for just what you are? Is there anybody that can praise God because he's forgave you even though you got a lot of funky faults about you? Is there anybody in here that can praise God because he brought you from where you used to be to where you are now? You can stand up and praise him if you need to. Is there anybody in here that can praise God? Check this. Because he know all your secrets. Is there anybody that can praise God because he know what you was doing last night? Is there anybody in here that can just praise God because he's redeemed you? Number two, real praise is reflective. See, David was out there dancing and praising the Lord because he reflected back to when he was a little shorty, a little kid, when he was 17 and all his big brothers had got looked at, but he was chosen. He looked back. David was praising God because he reflected. 13 years ago when he was 17 years old, God chose him to be the king of all of Israel. Is there anybody right now that can look back and say, I praise God for what he has done for me lately? And if you're having a hard time, if you have an amnesia, you can think back maybe 4 or 5 hours ago when God woke you up this morning. See, David was thinking about all that God had brought him through. When King Saul and them was alive, they were after him to kill him. And David was praising because he knew that God brought him through some things. Reflection leads us to rejoicing. Thinking allows us to begin thanking God. See, some of you, I see the smiles coming on your face because right now you're reflecting on what God has done for you. You're thinking, which is making you now thank Him. Reflection leads to us rejoicing, which is why David was dancing. We all have something to rejoice about. I shout because when I wanted to let go, God held me up. Yeah, I shout this morning because when I didn't have nothing, God gave me something. I shout this morning because when I did not have no hope, God gave me hope. I shout this morning because it is God who gave His one and only begotten Son, that if I believed in Him, I will not perish, but I will have everlasting life. So if you got that, shout with me, amen, right now. I shout because it was God, when I wanted to let go, who held me up. When I was hooked, God unhooked me. That's why I shout. Well, some of us might be having a hard time looking back, so I need your help. See, David heard the music, and when he heard the music, it, as the song says, makes you lose control. Music make you, especially for us of a little color, we got a little rhythm naturally. So when you hear music, you sometimes bob your head. I know y'all all saved now, but I know at one point. So stay with me here. I need your help. I'm gonna say a few songs, and I'm going to teach you something. For example, when you hear this song, and I need y'all to help me, Drifting on a Memory, what's the next part? Ain't no place I'd rather be. That's called a flashback. Now this one, since some of y'all are still shy right now, the other one, Looks, I think I better let it go. Looks like another love TKO. Maybe I'll start over because y'all know the song. Repeat it. Drifting on a memory. Ain't no place I'd rather be. I think I better let it go. That's right. Now let me take y'all back for y'all youngsters now. When they hear this, let me see you whip, nay, nay, right? Huh? Let your yays be nay, yay, yay. Or some people, when they hear the song, watch me whip. Thank you. Watch me whip. See, it flashes you back. And some of y'all can flash back right now when you used to have a song on, and it'll take you back to people you were with. Things you were doing, but even now, spiritually, when we hear a spiritual song, an old hymn, Jesus is my main joy, or I woke up this morning with my mind, what? Now y'all all know that, or how great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? See, it flashes you back, and I hope when you even hear the praise and worship songs, that it flashes you back to what God has done for you. The words on the thing there aren't simply words. They touch and pierce you deeply. Number three is real praise is very responsive. You can worship quietly, but I tell you what, you cannot praise quietly. You can worship quietly, but you can't praise Him quietly. Well, Wes, how do you know that? Because for those, there's sometimes people, you know, yeah, that just ain't me. I'm just quiet. Well, you're lying. Because if I said, hey, I got $1 million for the most quietest person in here right now, they're going to shout. Hey, I got a new car for you, they're going to shout. If Elder Carlisle say, Wes, I got one of them peach cobblers for you. I'm going to say thank you. We were at at the elder's house last Sabbath for a little potluck. Was it quiet in there? No, it wasn't. So that's how I know. Real praise is responsive. When you think back at all the things that God has done for you, Brother Fino, you can't help but shout a little bit. Doc, when you think of all your family back in the motherland that you praying for, and when you talk to them over there and they say they're doing all right, I know you shout hallelujah. When the Lord blessed me with that job, I had to shout hallelujah. It brought me to tears because I know it was only him. Real praise is responsive. Understand that you have to be willing sometimes to celebrate. If you look in verse 12, David shouted because of this. He shouted because the scripture says the Lord has blessed Obed and Edom's household in everything he has because the ark of God was there. Now, what am I saying? Some of us got to learn to shout when other people are blessed. It hurts you to be jealous when your neighbor is blessed. Because see, what you got to understand that if your neighbor is blessed, your blessing is coming soon. I remember back in the day when I was a little kid playing out on the street. I would hear the ice cream man. Some of y'all flashing back right now. I wouldn't see the ice cream man, Brother Corey, but you could hear the ice cream man about two blocks away. And you stop playing. And you start, ice cream man is coming. You begin running in the house to scrape up your change. Because the ice cream man is coming. When somebody is blessed that is close to you, you can hear the music that your blessing is right around the corner. See, some of y'all are thinking right now, your blessing, and you know your blessing is right around the corner. Because somebody just shared with you, they were blessed. That's the importance of testimony, is to share what God has done for you or through you, to let your brother or sister know that the music is right there, that the ice cream man is right around the corner from your house. So just hang on in there. Real praise is responsive. And when David realized that, heck, Obed and Edom was blessed, he knew that he could be blessed as well. Real praise, number four, and the last one, is resilient. It's resilient. People that praise God have been through some things in their life. But the thing that holds them together is they were resilient. See, there are sometimes some things that might almost force you to commit suicide. But because you didn't, you remained resilient. Real praise is resilient. When it's easy, you don't have to praise because you think it's all you. Real praise is resilient when you realize and you can retrack your steps and say, I never would have made it. But you can praise him because you made it. Is there anybody out there that made it? Is there anybody out there that's been resilient? Hallelujah. Amen to God. I pray that today that you would become addicted to worship. I pray today that you would let everything else go and that you would praise God for all that he's done for you. I pray today and I hope today that from now on when you come into the house of the Lord, nobody has to call you to worship. I pray that you are spreading it so that others may begin to praise him and worship him. You know, there was a woman that had the issue of blood. And she said as she was standing in the big crowd, all she needed to do was reach out and touch the hem of his robe. And she knew she would be healed. My question, is there anybody out there today that's struggling? And if you are, you have the opportunity to step out of your pulpit right now. Or if you just were stuck in a spot that you need to do whatever you need to do to experience the presence of God in your life again, I want you to step right out of your pulpit and come join me in doing whatever it takes to feel the presence of God again. Some of you might be dealing with marital problems. Some of you might be just dealing with problems in general. Step on out. Or maybe you just need to recommit yourself today. See, it's okay. It's okay. I'm recommitting myself right now. Don't worry about somebody judging you because you're stepping out. Because that very person that's judging you might need to see today that it's okay to step out. Pause a little longer. Remember, all the lady felt with the issue of blood is if I just reach out and touch him, that I'll be healed. Bring your problems. Just bring them to the pulpit. Somebody in your household might need a job. You thinking, how can I make it? You can remove the mask. And after the day, he will set you free. But you gotta be fully committed to him. Just stay in his presence. In his presence. Ain't God good? Don't we have reason to praise him? Somebody pull your amen out your pocket and say amen. Dear Lord, we just thank you today. We thank you for every soul in here, but I thank you for a special way for those that came out their pulpit. Lord, I don't need to know why they came out. You know. And I pray that you fix whatever it is that they need fixing. I pray that they will just believe enough in you. And Father, I pray that this church may be amped up to give you the praise and the glory and the honor that you deserve. We thank you. We love you. Please give us flashbacks to all that you've done for us. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Let your church and your children say, amen.